There's a shopping centre in the UK, in England, in the Black Country, and it's called Merry Hill, and I think that's a lovely title for it. But today a man has been walking in that shopping centre, walking around, observing people, and doing what people do when they're walking around observing people. He's been thinking and ruminating on where life is going, and he's been dwelling on a topic which is being discussed in Audioboo about whether people are getting lazier and lazier. And at one point in the piece of audio, Adrian, known as TurboStream, says, you know, where is it all going to end? Where is it all going to? And he tells a great story about his father, I think it is. And his audio is well worth listening to. The father was reporting years ago on, you know, how the world is changing and how things that are we were able to do, we're no longer able to do. And this whole issue about, you know, how will it all end has me thinking about a genre of writing that I am not familiar with at all called science fiction. So the rest of this audioboo is going to be about my science fiction novel, which I'm going to outline here now. And this is the world that we're heading toward. This is how it is all going to end, Adrian. The world that we have right now is sometimes called in some situations that we're on the verge of the Internet of Things. Simple thing about this is that fridges are going to get smart, and the fridge will be able to reorder the food from the supermarket for us so that we won't run out of milk anymore. And taking this a step further, the fridge will order the milk for us. The supermarket will automatically take the order, and the fridge will be delivered, or milk will be delivered to the fridge. You know, without any human intervention, no human being will take the order from the fridge and tap it into a computer. That will be done automatically. Nobody will tell the picker, the shelf picker, to pick the milk and to put it into the bag. That'll be done automatically. There will be a robotic connection. In fact, the van that will deliver the milk to the house will be driven by a robot, and the van will have no crashes because it'll be a self-driving car. So there'll be nobody there. The robot will be in the algorithm, if you like. So then when the delivery vehicle comes to the door of the house, the security system will be such that the door opens and allows the delivery to come in, and the milk will be put in the fridge. So there will be no human being involved in the decision to restock the fridge with milk. Right, that's here already almost, you know. All of the technologies I've outlined there are together. Now, going a step further than that, then of course the fridge will be, and when I use the word fridge, I mean to describe the whole of the kitchen, right? So all of the stockage area in the kitchen will all be smart, and all of the food. Now, the other thing is that cooking itself will cease. Humans won't do cooking anymore because the ingredients will be put into the house. It'll all begin with humans, instructing the various things in the house what they are to contain, and all the ordering will take place behind the scenes. But the issue about providing a balanced menu for you during the week will all be decided by an algorithm. Your consumption, the safe consumption, healthy consumption of water, salt, sugar, flour, butter, gluten-free products, etc. It all will all be done according to an algorithm, which has been very, you know, good at learning more and more based upon the research that there is about what's healthy for our diet. So basically, your meals will be served up to you every evening, pre-cooked. The food will be transferred from one part of the kitchen to the other into a machine, which is very close to being in existence already, which will actually, you put all the ingredients in, and out the other end of the machine comes the pre-cooked, the cooked food. And this food will not be lying around in the kitchen cold for, you know, and having to be heated up. No, there will be a communication between you, Adrian, as you come home. The machine in the kitchen will know that you're on your way home, will know your anticipated arrival time, and your food will be piping hot, not too hot, absolutely ready for you to eat. You know, 20 minutes after you come into the house, after you've had time to pour yourself a gin and tonic. We'll come back to how you get your gin and tonics made for you and poured and ready for you when you come into the house, perhaps in another audiobook. But just to tell you, you're now getting your food. And on top of that, of course, you won't be getting the same boring old stuff day after day, because the algorithm, which will be in charge of your food consumption, will be providing variety. And just to really show you how good algorithms can be, algorithms will, from time to time, completely shock you. There'll be the surprise meal, which you never, ever expected to get, with ingredients which you have never tasted before. So just in case you think that life is going to become boring because the same ingredients are going to be in the fridge all the time, no, it's there will be random variations thrown in. And you will find yourself eating food from, you know, South Sea Islands, a very unusual dish which you never could have imagined yourself. And it's going to be served up to you. And of course, you might decide you hate it, but that's human life. You'll feed that back into the system and you won't be fed any random variations like that again. So we're talking now about a series of algorithms which will learn according to the feedback that is given. So you will have implanted in your body, this will be put in by nanotechnology and it won't hurt while it's putting it in, a sensing device and a communication device which will be able to tell your house. And you won't have to open the front door of your house anymore. It will automatically open because you will be within, you know, arm's distance of the house. So you won't have to do that. And by the way, on your way home, you won't be driving the car. You will be able to be hands-free tweeting and audio booing, but the car will take you home to your house. So where have we got to? Now, that's all very, very close, you see. And gradually and gradually, human beings will need to go out less and less, because we will then have virtual experiences, which will be terribly impactful, very satisfying, and will simply, the next time you want to go walking with Dean Reed in the Peak District, the next time you want to go climbing Kinder Scout, or the next time you want to go walking over the stepping stones on National Trust properties there, you won't have to leave your sofa. You will be able to do it from your sofa. Now, by the way, the nanotechnology that has been implanted into your body will also be adjusting the way your body works. Consequently, sitting around having virtual reality experiences won't be half as bad for your body as you think, because this new technology will be able to exercise. For example, it will speed up your heart rate. And that's the important thing you have to do in order to pump the blood around the body quickly enough to make sure your arteries are kept clear and all that sort of thing. But all of these things will take place automatically without you having, and you'll have a very balanced body as a result of the technology and the algorithm that's controlling the workings of your body will be a learningful algorithm which will get better and better at it. So by and large, you won't have any decisions to make at all. You will actually live a very satisfying life. You will feel satisfied because the release of endorphins and all that will be also under control. So you won't have to do anything at all. In fact, going out to work will not be needed as well, because you will be able to do all of your work from wearing augmented reality headgear. And this silly old augmented reality headgear, which will appear so clumsy and awkward at after a certain period in time, will be entirely replaced by a chip that's embedded into you. Now, we have, in case you're thinking that this is going to be a metal object implanted into your body, no, these are dissolvable chips that actually dissolve into the bloodstream, so there won't actually be any physically identifiable object, or it'll be so small, the nanotechnology will be so small that no human eye will be able to detect it. It will, the machine that will operate on you in order to carry out operations in case anything go wrong will well be able to detect it, and they'll be run by another set of algorithms which will of course be able to pull in from all the wisdom of other machines doing operations in the world. So basically, an operating machine in a hospital will be informed by the experience of an operating machine in another hospital, and the whole intelligence will be transferred from one place to another via the cloud, or will be, to be more exactly, will be accessed from in one place in the cloud. So basically, you won't have to get up out of bed in the morning at all to do anything. And by the way, in case you're thinking that your sex life is going to be ruined, not at all. This new technology is going to provide you with absolutely guaranteed optimum sexual satisfaction. So that will be guaranteed. Now, this is all in the short-term future. Now, we need to move on then to the point where you're sexually satisfied and without any need for another human being at all. So you can now see that the pleasure principle, you know, which is indeed at the basis of all human contact, is provided for, and it feels absolutely right. So you'll be able to do everything. Society, as you can easily imagine now from extrapolating a little bit, will all just run itself automatically. And there will be learning, of course, from the consequences of actions. There'll be feedback loops, etc., and everything. You won't need to go out. Eventually, the point will come that parts of your body which are not needed for a normal progress of life will become redundant. And the normal process of evolution will result in the gradual reduction of superfluous pieces of kit. And the thing that will be getting stronger all the time and more intelligent will be the algorithms. The algorithms will be relating to other algorithms. And in fact, the whole world will be becoming a networked algorithmic landscape or technoscape, but actually we'll no longer have a distinction between technology and landscape. It will all be one word, so we'll get technoscapes or whatever they're called. So other people will invent the language that will go with this, because of course words, audio will become a thing of the past, really. There won't be any need for sound. What will be needed will be the connections that there are between the algorithm, which is you. Now, gradually, as this moves on into the further future, Adrian, the news I have for you is that as things in themselves, human beings will be carriers of algorithms for a while, and gradually they will shrink to almost nothing. I think it's debatable about whether there will be a full stop, there will be a physical object, full stops. But I want you now to imagine a planet in the universe which is entirely self-regulating without any gradually all this global warming will stop. Everybody will stop consuming fossil fuels in the way we are, and we will have a completely sustainable universe. And everything will flow much better than it did, of course, when humans were making innumerable mistakes, etc. Just to tell you, by the way, there will be world peace, you know, at long last there will be world peace. Algorithms will have friction with each other, there will be things that won't work properly well, but there will be gradual learning so that, you know, algorithmic conflict, if you like, will be overcome. And the whole planet will become then pure algorithmic intelligence. So I want you to imagine this planet in space. There won't be any human reproduction, by the way. We won't be, because that will be, that won't be needed anymore. You know, and the unless, and indeed there won't be a world food crisis either, because the amount of food that will need to be consumed will gradually be reducing, and the birth rate will have fallen off, and the whole, you know, as birth rate falls all over the place, the human population will be unsustainable, because it won't be able to reproduce itself. It'll gradually move into a spiral in which there'll be reduction. But this will not in any way detract from the quality of life on Earth. Earth planet will be doing well. The only thing that will have to be provided for is a military force to defend, or I should say a physical force to defend this precious planet from accidental collision with a meteor from outer space. But there will be a pure intelligent planet, and it will have, you know, the algorithms will construct, will cause to be constructed, a force field around the Earth, which is designed in order to protect the Earth from any catastrophes. So, including increasingly, perhaps even the possibility of dealing with the eventual burning out of the sun, and the possibility then of the algorithm being able to anticipate that sufficiently far in advance to lead to the construction of a mechanism for shifting the orbiting pattern of the planet Earth, so that it moved out of the orbit, out of this particular sun's orbit, into the orbit of another sun, and there we are. And, you know, so that's kind of where things are going, Adrian. That's the world we're heading for. And that, in that sense, you could say that it depends really upon, it's a kind of language convention where we say it will all end. At what point did it all end anyway? I mean, in the beginning was the word, and in the end is the algorithm. And that's the basis of my new science fiction novel. Now, would somebody like to write it for me? All the best. Bye.